the stealth revolution in government and religion in the last days. If you've been watching the news, a lot of things have been happening, so I'm not going to cover all of those. But let's ask the question, why are they happening, and what is going to take place? How serious are the difficulties and problems that we face, and what will be the likely solution or outcome, which may not be very good indeed? So let's concentrate on some things that God wants us to always learn and know and understand. All right, let's come to Deuteronomy 6. Here's what God wants us to do. Now, this is Old Testament, New Testament, both. It's the way that we stay right with God, the way that we receive the blessings of God, and for us to understand why God is doing what he's doing. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. And I think we'll find that as we look at the Word of God, this tells us why we're going through what we are going through, because a lot of people do not understand. And even those who are religious do not understand. And the government is certainly, and I'm not the only one that has said it, that the inmates in the insane asylum are running the institution. That's coming out of professional financial advisors' material, and I've got lots and lots and lots and lots of material, so I can't cover it all, so I'll just tell you where it comes from, and don't please ask me to mail it to you, because it would take too much to mail it to you. The only way you can get it is go online, and the only way you can get it other than that is the summaries that I will read for you. But here is what God wants, and this is even with all people in the world. And as I mentioned, Israel was to take the laws and commandments of God to the world, and Israel has failed. And so God is punishing us with the world. Now that's a simple analysis of the whole problem as we can get. Now Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, because they were getting ready to go into the land. And Deutero means the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy, second giving of the law. So this is a summary. These are all the commandments back here in chapter 5. He just finished giving the Ten Commandments. We'll go back and analyze that a little bit later. And so this is what should be taught, not only in the sense of religion is, but also in the sense of the government, because you see, Israel was a sovereign nation with God as its head. So you could say that would be a theocracy. Now, theocracies today are different because they have religion as the head, rather than God. So that's the sleight of hand that we have today, and we can see some of that, especially in the Muslim and Catholic religion. Now, here is the reason that God wants people to keep the commandments. Now, because we have human nature does not like to yield to God, does not like to be told what to do, where to go, and God has given us choice what we should choose, whether life or death, blessing or cursing. So here he's giving the proposition. Here's how I'm going to give you life and bless you. And is that not what most people want? Yes. Most people don't come up and say, God, I don't want any of your blessings. Give me your cursings. See, no, it doesn't work that way. But on the other hand, human nature is so devious God, I want to live in my sin, but still bless me. See, so you can't have it that way. So continuing, verse 2, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son, and your son's son, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. Now, we're going to see one of the things that has changed this nation was that when they got rid of God and prayer in the schools, they severed the tie from God, even though it was carnal, even though they were Sunday keepers, you see. There would still be blessings for keeping the rest of the commandments. And education, and the way that the family has been set up, as we'll analyze a little bit later, that has been severed. So therefore, we have short lives, we have rebellious children, and rebellious grandchildren, and yes, we even have rebellious grandparents, because a lot of the grandparents today and great-grandparents were the ones who went to the Woodstock thing in New York and set off the whole hippie movement, which spread like wildfire across the United States and even into the world. So here's what God says, and here's the only way you can maintain that relationship with God and receive the blessings of God. Hear therefore, Israel, and be diligent to observe it. That's why the Sabbath is every seventh day. That helps keep you diligent. And the Sabbath has been given so you can be in contact with God, so you can have a relationship with Him, so you can learn of His Word, so that it may be well with you, because God wants it to go well with human beings. And don't human beings function better when everything goes well? Yes, as long as they don't forget God and let sin enter in, see? And isn't that what everyone is trying to do, to make it go good for themselves? So God is saying how to do it, how to receive it. That you may greatly multiply, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in a land that flows with milk and honey. And boy, if the United States is not a land flowing with milk and honey, at least it was. How much longer it will be, we don't know. But even here in California, through stupid political practices, they're cutting off the irrigation water and turning parts of the most fertile land in America into desert again. All because of rotten thinking and political agendas and hidden things that people don't know about, which we'll talk about some of it today. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. Just a brief thing here. All the way through the Bible, there are two who are in the Godhead or family. One who is the Father, one who became Jesus Christ. And He was the Lord God of the Old Testament before He was God manifested in the flesh in the New Testament. Now, what we're covering here in verse 5 is identical to what Jesus said, the most important commandment. Verse 5, right here, Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, that's how our relationship with God is to stay strong, to receive blessings, and to receive blessings even in times, as we will see a little later, of difficult situations where you're living. And we're going to be facing more and more difficult situations. So this is why you need to keep this right in the forefront of your mind, lest you be consumed with the fears and problems and difficulties that are going to come, and they are going to come. See, you cannot prepare anyone mentally enough to go through all the horrors and difficulties that lie ahead any more than you could do so for the people in England who were bombed by the Germans, and the Germans who were bombed by the English, and the Chinese who were bombed by the Japanese, and the Japanese who were bombed by the Americans. And if you go through a bombing, that's a terrible thing indeed. And people had to learn how to live even though everything was falling down around them and bombs were exploding all around them and people were dying. This one town in England was bombed without warning. It was called the town of Coventry. And the officials knew that it was going to come down. Now, put yourself in that situation. No one knew, no one told you, and all of a sudden, raining out of the sky were bombs blowing up houses and churches. People were dying, running, screaming, and so forth. Now, after the bombers left and the bombs had been dropped, they had to continue on with their lives. So the reason I bring this out is because there are going to be some things that we're going to cover today which are going to be very similar to what's going to happen. So the way that you stay right with God is the all-important thing in every circumstance. And as I've mentioned to people time and again, you need to claim the promises of Psalm 91 every day. God will watch over you in spite of the difficulties. The angels of God will protect you. Now notice how he continues on here in verse 6, you see. Now why do you love God this way? Becomes a sole focal point of your life. And that's the whole point of conversion. And that's a whole blessing to you and your family and those who come along. Okay? And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall diligently teach them to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. Now, if we had done that, the way we started this country with the Bible, belief in God, trusting God, having very limited government, and that's how God wanted originally. The government that God set up for Israel was a government of judges. And of course, later Israel said, oh, we don't like the judges. We want a king. So they got a king. The rest of the story is in the Bible. So Satan's plan is to do this. Take away all of what God has said here in Deuteronomy 6. And then we'll examine what happens to a society when that occurs. Now let's continue here. And it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of every good thing which you did not fill, and wells which are dug which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be full. Beware, lest you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's always what happened. People forget God. First thing they do is forget God. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from off the face of the earth. Then he goes on saying, you shall not tempt him. Now how far do people go in tempting God? Well, we've gone a long way. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may be well with you, so that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. Now, if you break the teaching from generation to generation, you can cause people to go astray. Now, we'll see that here in just a little bit. All right. One sermon. I'm going to give one sermon here pretty soon. I'm going to read all of Deuteronomy 28. I won't do it today. But I want you to read it. I've told you how many times to read it. And I want you to ask the question when you read it, are all of these things happening today, right now? And the answer is yes. All right. Now let's come to Isaiah 3, verse 1. Let's look at the prophesied condition of our nation today. We're the descendants, modern descendants of the 10 tribes of the children of Israel. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Isaiah 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. The man of might and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the diviner and the ancient, the captain of 50s, the honorable man and the adviser and the cunning charmer and the skillful enchanter. And I will give young lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them. That's being fulfilled right now in our government against the people of America. And the people shall be crushed. You've been feeling oppressed lately? Every man by another, and every man by his neighbor. And so now they want to have so much control that they want to come into restaurants and in homes and tell you what to eat, how much to eat, want to control your life totally. And the young shall rise up against the old. Have you heard about the generational gap? Yes, indeed. The other night we had electricity go off, and I talked to a woman who said, well, she said to her family, here we are. No electricity, no computer. Turn off your cell phones. Turn off your tweeters. And we're going to sit here in the living room in candlelight and have a conversation. Which was revolutionary for the family today. See, because it is so divided with all of these things, and that's how they're destroying the nation. And that's how they're making nitwits out of those who are going through the school system today so that they would be foolish and emotional enough to follow leaders that we now have in the United States government. All right. Let's see what we need to cover here. Come down here to verse 8. Jerusalem is staggering and Judah is fallen. Well, are we staggering? Yes, indeed. We're ready to fall. And we'll talk about that. Because you see, if I don't warn you and tell you, God's going to hold me responsible. So I'm going to tell you whether you like it or not. And I think there's one man on television, his name is Glenn Beck, who's doing more warning to warn this nation than anybody else. And he's naming names and times and everything, so I won't get into that because he's doing it. And please understand this. God, I'm sure, is using him to do this very thing, because where would anyone listen to someone who's from the Church of God? Wouldn't do it. Now, there are many others out there doing the same thing, and it's called talk radio. So there is a literal fight and battle going on for the United States of America and the soul of this nation, and it is rooted in the sins that we have committed against God. So not only do we have to take care of the political things, but we have to take care of the sins, but we all through repentance and turning away from them. But we also have to understand the tactics of the enemy as they are doing it, so we can be alert, because not only have we forgotten God, we have forgotten what the country is all about and forgotten what the civilization that we have is all about. And all of these curses are coming upon us, because the curse shall not causeless come. Jerusalem is staggering, and Judah has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look of their faces witness against them. They declare their sin like Sodom. Oh, yes, I got a news report. Wonderful. We're broad-minded. We're tolerant. Now, the Lutherans are going to say that they will allow homosexuals in committed relationship to be ministers and priests in their churches. Is that not an abomination? Absolutely. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, because, see, that sin is against your body, that sin is against your mind, that sin is against God. For they have rewarded evil to themselves. Now here's a little breath of fresh air. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. So God says it'll be well with you. Not that you're going to live palatially in the times of destitution, but that God will watch out for you, and he promises that if you're righteous, you don't have to go begging bread. On the other hand, woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand will be given to him. That's what's coming back. That's what's coming back upon the people of America, because they have become so complacent. They have forgotten God. They have turned their backs on God. They have kicked God out of the government, kicked God out of the schools, kicked God out of the lives of people. They have changed the gospel. Those who are in the pulpit have become the worst offenders and liars that have ever been, and it has brought us to this point that our land is filled with crime, filled with abortion, filled with drugs, filled with rebellion, filled with children that run after the occult, get tattooed, pierce their tongues, pierce their lips, pierce their noses, pierce their ears, and wear odd and strange clothing, and give allegiance to those who are the rock stars and the Grateful Dead, that, and mainline directly into their ears all of the propaganda and Satanism that comes from these rock stars through MTV and records and music, and are taught the same thing in the schools, yea, even teachers having sex relations with the students. And people wonder, why are these things coming upon us? Remember, God doesn't accept you as you are. He will forgive you as you are, provided you repent and change. But he never accepts anyone as they are. That's why this Protestant song, "Just as I am," what is that song? "Just as I am," you know, hypnotize you to walk the sawdust trail and shake the preacher's hand, you know, that kind of thing. No, God wants repentance and change. In the government, more importantly, in the whole banking system, because they're nothing but liars from top to bottom, head to toe throughout. And God's judgment is coming because of it. And we're all going to be broken. We're all going to be paupers. So you might as well fess up to it that that's going to happen. And not too far down the road either. Yes, woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. Verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. And yes, even in the church of God. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. How do they cause you to err? By chipping away at the commandments of God. That's how they cause you to err. We'll see this here in a little bit. Let's come back here to Exodus 20. Let's look at the Ten Commandments. And we will see that not only are those in the government, but those in who are supposed to be teaching the way of God in what is called Christianity, which it is not, have changed the words of God. And what did God say? Now, they don't go in it, now, in some cases, they have. In the NIV, they have deleted 65,000 words from the Word of God and have changed certain things to leave out the true meaning of the verses. That's why we have this Bible, and it's called a faithful version, because the translation for this Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, is not for any political reason, for any personal gain. It is for the truth of God, dedicated to the way of God, dedicated so that those who read it can have full confidence that it is the truth as closely as possible obtainable in a translation to convey to you the way of God. And that's why we have the commentaries, and that's why we have the appendices, so that you can learn. You can find your way out of the maze of the lies that have come upon you if you have gone to a Sunday-keeping so-called Christian church. Now, let's analyze the Ten Commandments. And the greatest sin, and we emphasize this in several places in the appendices, the greatest sin of those who are supposed to be Christian teachers is this. They say that God has done away with his law through Christ. And that is tantamount to saying, with the atheist, God doesn't exist. Now, here's why. We'll see as we analyze these as we go through. Verse 1, Exodus 20. God spoke all these words, saying, so this is, you want to know what God would say to you today? Here it is. These are his words, recorded for you. You don't have to go back in time in history. It's here today. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. When you come to yourself in repentance and sin, God is calling you, and God expects you to repent and answer. And in the New Testament, he has a way of forgiving. You can bury your old sins through baptism. And you have to come completely to God in order to do this. You can't just say, well, I'll quit going to this church. Well, I'll change this behavior. Well, that's fine, but where is God? Where's your relationship with him, see? So here's what he says. Commandment number one. See? You shall have no other gods before me. Now, other gods can be other versions of God, which are not true. In the case of the New Testament, another Jesus, another gospel, which there are plenty of those. And whenever you do that, you get further from God, to step away from God. And then you take another step away from God, unless you repent. Satan knows this. This is why the laws of the land have been changed to exclude God. Oh yeah, let's have Allah. Oh yeah, let's have Buddha. But not God the Father and Jesus Christ, not the Ten Commandments. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And people say, well, God says jealousy is sin. How could God be jealous? Because of the sin and stupidity of making idols. Very simple. But here's what happens when you do that. When you have other gods and you make idols, and idols don't have to be religious. They can be posters on the wall. They can be pleasures. They can be self. Narcissism is self-idol worship. I think we have one in the White House. And a lot of people bow down and worship him. But here's what happens. Why are we going through what we are going through today? Because God visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of those that hate me. So hating God, you bring up God, you get a lot of hatred, you get a lot of flack. You know, even the little bit that Glenn Beck has brought up about returning to God, even though he's a Mormon and doesn't know the truth, at least he understands that he's accountable to God the Father. And his critics call him a religious nut. Well, are they not secular nuts? Are they not sinful nuts? Are they not crazy people running the government, thinking up all kinds of things, and a government becomes an idol? You see, we'll talk about idolatry here just a little bit more. And we will see that once you leave the true God, you have an idol somewhere. Some kind. Something. Maybe your idol is a cause. Whatever it may be. Of those that hate me, so remember where we started. You're to love God. If you forsake him, you hate him. You bring things upon your children and your children's children. But notice, verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And that is New Testament doctrine. See? There you have it. So what do? You create a society that takes people away from God, number one, gives them other things to do and practices and things and games and entertainment and devices and mechanisms and all of this sort of thing, and those become the idol. Have you ever heard of rock stars who are their idols? Yes. And what happens? What are the kids like today? Well, I don't need to expound on that. If you don't know, I can't help you. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, and the ones who take it in vain more than anybody else. And I'll tell you this, it's not the golfers on the golf course swearing, or it's not the football players on the field calling each other names. It's not the men working in the trenches in the ditch and something happens and they curse and swear. It's not people with filthy mouths that you think all the time, these are the ones who take God's name in vain. They do. But they're not the number one culprits. The number one culprits are those who are dressed in sheep's clothing and have titles like reverend or bishop, or cardinal, or pope, or evangelist, who lie in the name of God. Now think of it, the conundrum of this. God is a God of truth. His word is truth. And someone stands up and says, I represent God, and tells them a lie. And you read what God says about false ministers. False prophets, false teachers who bring these abominations to people. And look what's happening to these churches is punishment because of it. Protestantism is falling apart. Catholicism in Europe, they only have 2-3% of the people enter those great chasms of cathedrals. Here's what everybody forgets. Isn't it interesting? Every time God says, remember, people turn around and forget. We've even seen this happen within the Church of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because that's the day God puts his presence in, but only for those who come to God. His presence is not in the seventh day on Friday night football games, on Friday night dances, on Friday night partying and adultery and fornication and all that goes along with that. See, God is not there. God is not there on Saturday shoppings and specials and blue light treasures in Walmart. God is not there with those people. Those people have forgotten God, and they're out doing their own thing. They're out serving themselves. Oh, they may go to church on Sunday, but boy, they're going to get home before the first football game starts. You know, and there are even some Sunday preachers who say, well, we'll start services early so you can make it home for the 10 o'clock football game. Everybody says, yay, now he's a good preacher, see. And how about all of those college students? All the football games for college students is when? Saturday, Friday night. High school the same way, see. So what happens? You pull people away from the Sabbath and keep people from having contact with God. So what do? You devise everything to keep them from doing that. You assure them of the lie that Sunday is just fine. Or if that bothers some people, you can say, well, as the Jehovah Witnesses do, and their lying witness, which is every day is holy. See? And if a Jehovah Witness says that to you, then ask him, well, if that's true, when do you work? See? God did not make every day holy. Only one. And man cannot change what God made holy. That simple. That's why in the Bible we have an appendices, Rome's challenge to the Protestants, where the enemy of God wrote to the Protestants that you are in a death wish if you keep Sunday, because that was established by the Roman Catholic Church, and there's no place in the New Testament which authorizes the keeping of Sunday, period. And we're telling you so that you either, if you say the Bible is your guide, you start keeping the Sabbath and get out of the death wish, or you give up saying that you know, God is with you when you refuse to do what God says and you come back to the Roman Catholic Church and stand wholly on Catholic ground and not have one foot in the Bible. Because if you say the Bible is your guide and you don't keep the Sabbath, you're doomed. Because God says, those who break the Sabbath, the penalty is death. Right? From the Catholics. See, God gives many witnesses in different forms. All right, let's look at the next one. Honor your father and your mother. So what are the kids taught today? Dishonor father and mother, rat on them in school, tell the school what kind of religion they have. You can't discipline them, you can't spank them, you can't have them take a Bible to school. One little boy, he brought a Bible to school right here in Hollister because he really liked the Bible and liked the story of it, so he brought it. And the teacher said, well, you can't stand up here and tell anybody in the class about this. You know, separation of church and state. And what are we going to see? One of the tactics that they have in bringing all of these things about is this. The Word of God is not inspired. It was written by men. And so, therefore, it is their opinion. And it was written thousands of years ago. And today we're modern and we do not need them to tell us what to do. So, as you think, as you choose, you do it. That's what's happened. So that your days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, this fifth commandment is for children. And how many have had their days cut short? Talk about being cut short. How about abortion? They can even go get it without permission from their folks, and the student and the nurse at the school will sign the excuse so you can go to the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic funded by $400 million this year by the federal government to destroy and murder that life that was conceived in your womb because you went out and played around with sex. You shall not murder. What do we have? A land filled with murder. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, everybody does it today. And it's like Alan Dershowitz speaking of the Tenth Commandment. He said, why, you can't enforce the Ten Commandment today. You shall not covet. He said Wall Street would disappear. And there was a movie out, American Greed. There's even a series on CNBC about what happens with American greed. Greed from the least to the greatest. And the debt is destroying all of them. And there was the movie where one of the famous movie stars said, and he was playing the role there, and he was speaking to a whole room full of stockbrokers and important people and so forth about the American dynamo of making money. And he says, greed is good. Greed is good. Well, now God's taking it all away, see? All right, you shall not steal. You can't leave anything out anywhere. Someone will pick it up. Once in a while, someone will be honest. And you think, you know, I remember when someone found a whole bag of cash that fell out of one of the armored cars in Los Angeles. There was about $48,000 in it, and he came and turned it in. And everyone said, why, you're nuts. You should have kept it. See? Everyone's a liar. Everyone's a cheat. Everyone's a thief. Everyone commits adultery or fornication, if not directly, then vicariously through pornography. So that's how. Now, if you want to try and get rid of these things, what is the defense for these sins? Freedom. Freedom of expression. Since there's no God in the courts, why uphold you shall not commit adultery? The judge is doing it. The prosecutor is doing it. Defense attorney is doing it. And look at the sick affair that we have with the leading American politicians. And the one who was eulogized today as a wonderful man, Ted Kennedy. My, I saw part of it, and it was almost like you were hearing someone talk about Jesus. You talk about calling evil good and good evil. And that was done by a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church because they gave lots of money to it. Political, you see. We could go on and on. We won't. We'll see where the idolatry really starts. And we will see that it's with the leaders. Let's come to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. Let's go to the next track, please.